are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank. And today we're going to really delve into the Australian labour market. Now, we did have some very positive surprising labour market numbers out earlier this week. And we've also had a good look into how the labour market performed during the COVID-19 recession. Helping me out today, I have Christina Clifton and Nicholas Geno from the Australian Economics team. Great to have you both on today.
Hi, Belinda.
Hi, Belinda. Thank you.
Okay, Belinda, you had a detailed look at the October labour market data that was released yesterday. So I'm just going to ask you a couple of questions about that result. It was overall a very strong report, but can you walk us through what the numbers were?
It certainly was a very non-consensus set of numbers, and to the positive side as well. So when we looked at the data before it came out, we had been expecting a small fall in employment for the month. But as it turns out, we did see a very large gain in employment of 179,000 people in October. So there was around 97,000 jobs added in full-time work and around 82,000 in part-time work. Now, what was really interesting in the October labour market numbers is we did see a lot of the people that gained employment in the month come from outside the labour force. So those were people who were not in the labour force prior to that, re-entered the labour force and gained employment. So that's quite a positive sign for the outlook for jobs. We did see the unemployment rate tick up to 7% from 6.9% the prior month, and underemployment fell as well. So another good sign that we're starting to see more hours worked come through and people more actively employed in the labour market. But with that lift in the unemployment rate, we did see the participation rate lift again. So that's now back up to 65.8%, still below the pre-COVID peak of around 66.2%. But overall, a very positive result. Gains in employment, gains in hours worked. And this really reinforces our view that a strong economic recovery is underway.
Okay, yes, yeah, so we definitely are seeing a nice bounce in the labour market and some stronger jobs growth. Can you walk us through CBA's outlook for the labour market over the next year or so?
Yeah, so we actually have a non-consensus positive view. So we did upgrade our numbers for the Australian economic recovery for 2021 a week ago. So we're now expecting economic growth in 2021 of 4.2%, and that's up from our previous expectation of 2.5%. And with that stronger economic recovery should come a better improvement in the labour market as well. So we now have the unemployment rate falling to 5.75% at the end of 2021. Previously, we did have 6.5%, and we also have the unemployment rate falling again at the end of 2022 to 5%, which is about where it was pre-COVID-19. So just in comparison, the RBA has the unemployment rate at the end of 2022 compared to our 5%. So obviously, the risk to all this is the path of the coronavirus, and we did see that raise its head again in South Australia this week.
Okay, thank you, Belinda.
Now, I'm going to take back over and talk to Nick about some work he's done on the uneven labour market performance during the recession. So, Nick, you joined our team at the start of 2020, which must have been a very fascinating time to not only enter the workforce, but also to join as an economist with everything that's been happening. But we did see, obviously, some big falls in the labour market over 2020. Who bore the brunt of those job losses?
Hi, Belinda. Thanks for the introduction. It has been a wild year. So what the work I've done is really focused on ABS single touch payrolls data, which is distinct from the October labour force survey. And when we looked into this data, what we found was that females and younger workers aged between 15 and 29 years accounted for the bulk of first round job losses. The data shows that from mid-March until mid-April this year, female payroll jobs fell 3% further than male payrolls, and that workers under 20 through a staggering 23% fall in payroll jobs, which is more than any other age group. However, since then, both groups have recovered strongly, and female payroll jobs have actually outpaced male payroll jobs. And the under 20 age bracket has actually gained jobs since March this year, and they're the only demographic group to have done this.
That's some pretty amazing statistics right there. I guess when you look at the reasons why we saw these demographics impacted more, does it have to do with the industry composition of where they work? So is it those industries that were more heavily impacted by border closures, social distancing requirements and lockdown measures?
That's exactly right, Belinda. This recession has been extremely uneven and skewed towards the services part of the economy. And the analysis we've done shows that there's a comparatively higher proportion of the female labour force employed in industries like retail, accommodation and food services, arts and recreation, as well as education and training when compared with the male labour force. This is similar to the youth labour force, which is highly concentrated in the eating, drinking and shopping out services space. And so many of these industries that were badly hit relied heavily upon foot traffic and physically interacting with customers. So when the shutdown and social distancing measures were enacted by state governments, it was natural that they saw a large decline in revenue and consequently cut a lot of jobs. But looking ahead, with the revised economic outlook, we think this implies a strong jobs growth for most industries, and we think this will be supportive for a broad-based recovery in employment for all genders and age groups.
We've obviously seen a lot of support by both the federal government and the Reserve Bank of Australia this year. We've talked about this extensively on the podcast as well. But I guess importantly for the outlook for not only the labour market, but particular demographics, and as you mentioned, obviously females were hit a lot harder than males, younger workers were hit a lot harder early on, but that's now recovered. What government policies have been put in place to support, I guess, the sectors that have suffered the worst employment loss? Are there any in particular that we should be keeping an eye out for?
Definitely. There's been some strong support measures from both state and federal policymakers, which will support females and younger workers regaining employment in the labour market. In the federal budget, $240 million was announced for the Women's Economic Security Statement, and New South Wales has allocated $10 million in grants and return to work coordinators to support women who have lost their job during the pandemic. The federal government has also legislated the JobMaker Hiring Credit, and this is a scheme that provides $200 a fortnight for 12 months to an employer if they employ a 16 to 29-year-old. There's also an apprenticeship wage subsidy, and this provides a substantial 15% subsidy for up to 100,000 new apprentices until September 2021. Finally, there's a growing pipeline of infrastructure expenditure, which seems to keep expanding with every new state budget. And this is going to support the near 15% of 15 to 29-year-olds employed in the construction industry. Looking ahead, we would not be surprised if jobs for younger Australians continue to recover faster than the rest of the labour market.
And that would be good news, because we know youth employment has been relatively high in Australia. They've obviously been scarred deeply throughout the COVID-19 period. So it is good to see that we do have some policies in place, and overall, obviously, the significant support that we've received both through fiscal policy and monetary policy have led to not only the increase in federal government debt, but what we've seen in the state budgets to date. And I'm thinking particularly here, we've had the state budgets of New South Wales, Tasmania, South Australia to date. All of them have shown a willingness to further stimulate where required to lift debt levels. And as we've continued to say over this COVID-19 period, the economic return on this lifting debt significantly outweighs the interest cost from taking on this new debt. So it's obviously will help the outlook for the Australian economy, which we recently upgraded next year. Nick, Christina, appreciate your insight.
Thanks, Belinda.
Thank you very much, Belinda.
You can find both our write-up on the October labour market data, which was published on the 19th of November 2020, and also our report on the uneven labour market recession and recovery, which was published on the 20th of November 2020 on combankresearch.com.au.